Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's been a while. And anyway, here's our announcements. There will be no services on Wednesday. We are going to be practicing social distances, 6 feet. We've got our pews set up so that everyone is separated. We have sanitizer in the gathering area, and everything has been sanitized. And let's see, services next week will start at 10:30, just like we are this morning. Now, everything is pretty much set up. Our deacons of the month is Dennis Harper and Mike Bingham. Now, our offerings today, so that we won't be touching anything that we shouldn't, we've got our offering plates in the gathering place in the back of the back there. And so as we leave today, please put your offering in there. We could use it. Okay. This is kind of a new experience for me, as it is for you guys, so kind of bear with me. I want to say something. During all this time, people kind of react to it in different ways. I'm one of those guys. I got real stressed out and so forth. And but last week, something happened that really made an effect, really made me feel good. My wife had went out walking, and when she came back, she held out her playlist, and she was singing the song that we had at our wedding. It was Let It Be Me. And so we're just sitting there on the porch singing, and it really, really makes you think. It's a great time. Okay, now, as we're social distancing, but we want to still welcome our members and so forth. So if you'll stand up and wave at everybody. Mickey, you can get up too. That's it. Yeah. It's good to have you here. It is really good to have you here. So as I turn this over to Vanessa, we're good.
Thank you, Dennis. Good morning, Sequoia. So good to see every face. Today's a good day to praise the Lord, amen. And we're going to bless him because it says that we can bless him and praise him and he will inhabit our praises. In Psalm 103:22, it says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And we know he owns everything. He's in control. Isn't that right? Praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being a God that's in control. Lord, we bow before you today. We pray that our worship is glorious in your sight. And Lord, just use this service to bless us and bless those that were not able to make it for whatever reason, Lord, equally. Bless your people. Lord, we know that you're still in control, and we lay it all in your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing, Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Those who want to stand can stand.
Done.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to gather in the house, your house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8:3, and this is where Jesus is healing a centurion. No, this is where he's healing a leprosy. He healed so many people. It's very easy to get them crisscrossed because Jesus was always healing. And that's a message for you. He's touched each and every one of us. In this scripture, it says in Matthew 8:3, then Jesus put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, not next week or next year, but immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Everyone in here needs a touch from the Lord, whether it's a touch of protection or a touch of healing, or a combination. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for a family member. But when you hear this song, I want you to think about how Jesus touched him, and he's touching us now. Praise his name.
Touched me and made me whole. very much, Vanessa. It's great to see you guys out here. And we have been doing this for a few weeks, and it's a lot better with people, no matter how far apart they are. And it's great to see you, and thank you so much for doing what we ask, and we appreciate it very much. Next week, the doors are open at 10:30, and the service will start at 10:45, as this week. I was going to preach a sermon in the series that I started last week, but I think the Lord has led me to go to another direction, so I'll do the sword sermon next week. I want to talk today about something I think many of us need to be reminded of in a time like this, and it's the goodness of God. The fact that God is good. And so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100, and then we'll go to Psalm 107. Psalm 100 and Psalm 107. Psalm 100. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord, he is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And then the next five words. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, and his faithfulness through all generations. And then Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. I want to tell you the story, and every once in a while you read a story or hear a story that really communicates to you. This has to me. It happened in a classroom at Hannibal LaGrange College in Missouri in 2002. It was the day for final exams. Oh, dreaded day. Denise Banderman walked into the classroom minutes before the professor arrived. Everybody in the room was doing last-minute cramming. Then the professor enters and takes a few minutes to review. Most of it was familiar, but there were some things that no one remembered ever hearing. The professor responded with what sent cold chills up every student's spine. He raised the textbook and says, "This is your textbook. You are responsible for the content on this exam." The time for the test came. He gave the word. Every student took up their pen and turned over their test. I want you to hear this in Denise's own words. I couldn't believe it. To my astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. My name was even written on the exam in red ink. A wordless stir traveled like a wave over the class as each student looked at their completed exam. On the bottom of the page of every test was this note from the professor. All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on the final exam. The reason you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did in preparation for this test did not help you get the A. Now consider that story with what we heard Easter. The Lord Jesus, the very Son of God, took the test, died on the cross for us. Can I tell you something? These aren't just experiences in people's lives. There's not a single person in this room who hasn't experienced outrageous, lavish, unexpected, undeserved kindness from God. What is more, we experience these serendipities every single day. They are poured not out over us constantly. I know this and declare it with total confidence today because of one unchanging truth that permeates every phase of reality. God is good. If you want to see God for who He really is, here's a good starting point. 1 Corinthians 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." "Test and see that the Lord is good," Psalm 34:8. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love is eternal, and His faithfulness endures to all generations." When Moses boldly pleaded with God, now don't miss this, "Show me your glory," he was asking God to see who He really is. "Show me as much as I can stand, Lord." So what God did show him, Exodus 33:19-20 says, "I will cause," listen to this, God was going to show Himself to Moses, "I will cause My goodness. I will cause My goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you." He said, "Moses, you want to see Me? Well, I have decided to show you My goodness and to proclaim My name." Moses wanted to see God's glory. God showed him something so wonderful and accessible that it caused the skin of Moses' face to glow with the radiance of God's presence. God showed Moses His goodness. The Bible defines God's goodness in two ways. One has to do with His character. The other focuses on His actions. In Psalm 119:68, it says, "You are good and you do what is good." The first half of the verse focuses on the fact that God is by nature good. The second half is that God does good things. That is, He is morally excellent, extraordinarily beautiful, deeply glad, and extravagantly bountiful. That's our God. I think during this time we need to be reminded that God is good. Think about it. God is the original definition of good. He is good in and of Himself. And as for goodness, it's not an added quality like for us. We add to our lives goodness, but it is natural for Him. He is good. That's exactly what Jesus meant when He said, "No one is good but one, God." Mark 10:18. We talk about and we think about all kinds of good things. Yesterday, our grandkids came over for the first time in a long time. Two littlest ones. We've tried to practice social distancing and all that, but I want to know something. It was good. It was good. We laughed and we played games and we destroyed the house and everybody was happy. And when they left, I thought in my heart, that was good. That was a good day just to see them. This steak is good. This friend is good. That was a good movie. You don't say that often anymore, but you have in the past. But all that we call good on this earth is tainted and imperfect. God alone is goodness himself. But how do you see the true character of a person? By his actions. God acts in a manner consistent with his goodness of character. Now, Vanessa said something when she led the music. She said, God is in control. Amen? And you said amen, because he is. We're not confused about that. We're not confused that who's got the world in his hands. We're not confused about who's on his throne. We're not confused about who created this ball and threw it out into space. We are not confused about that. We know our God is in control. What makes that comfortable and exciting to us is the God who is control is good. If he wasn't good, it would be horrible. Think about it. If you said God is in control and he doesn't do good, what spot would we be in? But God is in control. And he is loving, and he does good. And I praise God for that. I praise God that we can say in the midst of whatever's going on, God is good, God is in control, and he's doing what's best for me. He's doing what's best for me. What he's doing is helping me become like Jesus. And he works all things for good. Even coronavirus, he works all things for good because he can't do anything else. He is good. Now, there are a lot of ways that God has shown us his goodness. I'm just going to mention a few, then talk about one in depth, and then we'll be done. First of all, there are natural blessings. This is the lowest level in which he expresses his goodness. His goodness, but these are the ones we tend to overlook. But David saw it clearly. He said, Yahweh is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Our generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. And then verses 7 and 9, he says, they will give a testimony of your great goodness and will sing joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and great in his faithful love. Notice verse 9, the Lord is good to everyone. Who's included in everyone? Everybody. I want to tell you, even if you're not a believer, even if you've rejected him, even if you believe he does not exist, he is still good to you. And he does good things for you. And then he shows this goodness by interventions, intervening in our lives. Psalm 107 is totally devoted to this theme and opens with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe. And then the psalmist describes four scenes in which God was good. And as you study that on your own, because time will prohibit us from going through all of those, because I want to get to the last one, we need you to study that on your own. Look for four scenarios in which God displayed his goodness. For instance, God comes to the rescue of people who frantically searching for something and someone that will satisfy their soul. I gave you the first one. Maybe the second one, God intervenes in the lives of those who've rebelled against the word of God and suffer for it. God intervenes in the lives of those who have rebelled against the word of God and suffer for it. God intervenes on behalf of his goodness in the lives of foolish people who have given themselves to sin. And God rescues those pounded by calamity. That may be you today. You may think, I have been pounded by calamity. I have lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. Well, God will rescue you. He will show his goodness. He has been there for us and will continue. But I want to show you that God's goodness was best displayed through Jesus Christ. God sending Jesus Christ was the most powerful good thing God has done. First of all, he took the judgment of our sin that we deserved upon himself. Romans 5:8 says, God proves his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is good. His nature drives the desire to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He puts forward his Son on our behalf to take our hell and give all who believe heaven. He took the judgment that our sins deserved upon himself because of his goodness. I want to tell you something. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your sins is cast as far as the east is from the west. God is so good, he chooses not to remember them any longer. We don't have to dwell in the past. We don't have to feel guilty when we walk into a church because of what we did in the past. We have been forgiven because God took our judgment. He took our test. And he got every answer right. And he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. That's the goodness of God. And the incredible thing is people are experiencing the goodness of God even now. In the midst of quarantine and church cancellations and all the rest. Because you cannot stop the goodness of God. If you could, probably Rome would have done it. You just can't. And then, I want to read you one verse that is so incredible. Romans 2:4 says, do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God is good to us, so we will repent and we will serve him. I just think that's mind-boggling. Jesus died, forgave us of sins, provided a way to heaven, and he doesn't let anything get in the way in spite of our unbelief and ingratitude, he still comes. Also, we can rest in his goodness when adversity comes. You know, I think there's nobody on earth who wouldn't say that we're going through a time of adversity. I don't know, maybe there's an island somewhere that we don't know about. But the world has been impacted. We live in a world where bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Sometimes our circumstances argue with us about how good God is. Sometimes God's good plan for us means going through trials and losses and heartache and death. Throughout this 5 weeks, I have walked away from two graves. Where families under 10 count could be there. Manifold sadness. But hear me. Psalm 31, 19 and 20 says, "How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you and accomplished in the sight of everyone for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence. You conceal them in a shelter from the schemes of men, from quarrelsome tongues." I'm glad there's people here who can look me in the eye. I want to tell you something. God has goodness stored up for you. That's incredible. God has great goodness stored up for you. Take refuge in Him. Rest there. It is up to more than you know, and it has hidden help that only comes when you give it to Him. Ladies and gentlemen, that means we live by faith. You may be sitting home and can't get out, and you're living by faith. You're trusting that God has goodness stored up for you. I'm trusting for this church that God has goodness stored up for it. We will meet again with all of us here. Now, we'll still probably have to sanitize our hands, but we will meet here. And we will sing, and we will rejoice, and people will come to know Christ. And we will be discipled and we will grow because God's got goodness stored up for us. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun. He illuminates the path I should take, and a shield He protects me. The Lord gives grace and glory." That's exaltation for those who follow Him. "He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity." You will never miss out if you walk with God. You will never miss out. And then I want to close, and I'm just going to, if you have your Bibles here, just turn to Romans 8:32. And I'm going to close with this and a story, and we will be done. Romans 8:32. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us?" Now here's the verse. "He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything?" Everything we need. Because He's good. And I want you to understand something. He gives us things we can't get ourselves. I want to end with another incredible story. I want to introduce you to John Gilbert. John was 25 when he died. He lived to the age of 25. When John was 5 years old, he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, and there's a name before it, Duchenne's. It's a genetic, progressive, debilitating disease. It would claim his life in 20 years later, but not before subtracting almost everything from him. Every year, John Gilbert lost something. In time, he lost the ability to do all the outward things that we take for granted, and he lost even the ability to speak. But there was one moment that really stood out. And it happened when he was invited to a National Football League fundraising auction. When it began, one particular item caught John's eye, a basketball signed by the players of the Sacramento Kings. John so desperately wanted that ball that when it came up for bid, he felt his hand raise up in the air. His mother quickly brought it back down. She knew they didn't have the funds to cover the bid. The bidding on the basketball continued with excitement. It rose to an astounding amount compared to other items at the auction, and especially to the real value of the ball. Finally, a man made a bid that no one else could possibly match and won the prize. The man walked to the front, claimed the basketball, but instead of going back to his seat, this man walked across the room and gently placed it in the thin, small hands of the boy who would never dribble that ball down a court, never throw it to a teammate, never fire it from the foul line, but would cherish it for long as he lived. John Gilbert, while he was still able, wrote these words, and I quote, "It took me a moment to realize what the man had done. I remember hearing gasps all around the room, then thunderous applause and weeping eyes. To this day, I'm amazed. Have you ever been given a gift that you could have never gotten for yourself? Has anyone ever sacrificed a huge amount for you without getting anything in return? And of course, everyone in this room right now can answer resoundingly, yes." And his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. And he still loves us. And of course, I love that statement. Jesus Christ loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. But you can receive it. You can experience it. You not only can experience the goodness of God, but the good actions of God. So if you never see Christ, I implore you to come to him. Our God is so good. Amen. It's great to see you guys today. And it's great to have you here. And I want to pause and we're going to close. And I want to pray for those who aren't here and ask God to bring a day soon when they can be here, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person who came today. I pray you'll protect them from anything, any disease. I pray you've encouraged their hearts, and it's so wonderful to get to see them. And I pray for those who could not come because they're feeling ill or to meet the requirement of age or whatever, that you would protect them wherever they are. And I pray for every member of Sequoia and every friend of it, that you would help them bask in the goodness of our God, even in times like this. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do because of your goodness. And I can't wait to see the goodness you have stored up for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We off? All right. Well, now we can get down to it. Amen. I want you to come up here. Would you come up here, please? And I want us to sing God Is So Good. Can you do that off the cuff? All right, come on, let's go. And when this song is over, we are done. We ask you not to congregate, wave. We celebrate the fact that you were here. We'll see you next week. Okay? Let's stand.